जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 8, Verse 16. बहु जन्म करे यदि श्रवण कीर्तन तबु त न पाया कृष्ण पदे प्रेमदान बहु जन्म करे यदि श्रवण कीर्तन तबु त न पाए कृष्ण पदे प्रेम दान बहु जन्म करि यदि श्रवण कीर्तन तबु त न पाए कृष्ण पदे प्रेम दान बहु जन्म करि यदि श्रवण कीर्तन तबु धन पाए कृष्ण परे प्रेम दान Ladies. Bahu, many, Janma, births, Kare, does, Yadi, if, Shavana, hearing, Kirtana, chanting, Tabu, still, Ta, in spite of, Na, does not. Paya. Get. Krishna Pade. Unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Prema Dana. Love of Godhead. Translation. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name from many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that although one may go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of attaining the platform of devotional service unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must follow strictly the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Sikshastaka, Janadapi Sunichena Toror Iva Suhishnana Amanina Mana Dena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, should be ready to offer all respect to others. Such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. One who follows this direction, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the supreme personality of Godhead himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance. But in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the absolute are all as good as the absolute himself. Thus one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he considers himself an eternal servant of the holy name, and in this spirit distributes the holy name to the world. One who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of Godhead directly. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is clearly said, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Svayam Eva Sparatyada. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. This service in a submissive attitude begins with one's tongue, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. There's more to this commentary, but I'm going to stop here for now. There's limited time. Om Jnana Timirandasya Kiranjana Savataya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachulam Pangam Mangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nyavishesha Sanyavari Pastitya Desatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasidhi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before I begin it, I'd like to say that it is a great honor for me to be given this opportunity to render some service
to all the assembled Vaishnavas today. I pray that you'll give me your blessing so that I may say something relevant, especially since I've been asked to speak about the holy name, since today is the last day of our Kirtan Mela, and the devotees have assembled here to dive deeply into the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. I need your blessings to be able to say something relevant to such a deep topic, and therefore I offer my obeisances to all my God brothers, Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha, who are assembled here. Thank you very much. In this verse, importance is stressed about chanting the holy name so that one can achieve the ultimate goal of this chanting. I wanted to read something also in connection to this. It is short, but very relevant to this verse. And they are words of our Param Guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in answer to the question, how should we chant the Lord's holy names? I find this very relevant to myself, and therefore I've been sharing it with many devotees. And I would like to read it first and then in some way try to be able to explain the meaning behind it. Pure devotees do not chant the Lord's names to counteract sinful reactions, accumulate piety, attain heavenly pleasures, to mitigate famine, devastating epidemics, social unrest, disease, civil strife, or to obtain wealth or an earthly kingdom. Since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to ask Him to fulfill our wishes is to treat Him as our servant. This is an offense. Therefore, calling the Lord's names for any reason other than to attain His devotional service is useless. Jesus Christ told us not to take the Lord's name in vain. However, this does not mean that we do not need to always chant the Lord's names while sleeping, awake, eating, or enjoying happiness. To chant the Lord's name, begging for His service, is not a useless activity. It is our only duty. But to make a show of chanting for some other purpose, in other words, to fulfill our own desires, is useless. We should not take to the chanting of the Lord's names uselessly. We should not chant to attain religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Instead, we should always chant to attain the Lord's service. I thought this was very relevant. Many times when we're sitting, engaged in kirtan, engaged in the japa, we look for, try to hold on to something that we should be praying for. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur here explains that unless one is actually chanting for service, any other purpose, and he gives a long list, not for social unrest, not for epidemics, not for material prosperity, any chanting to relieve distress, whether individually or collectively, is materially motivated. And therefore, he uses a strong word. He says it's useless, which we may question, because sometimes we hear so many verses which explain that, you know, even once chanting the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all kinds of sinful reactions from millions of births. And here, somebody may be chanting collectively with a large group for a particular purpose. And yet, he defines it as useless chanting. It makes me think of a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, spoken by Devahuti. She says that anyone whose work does not lead to religious life, and anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not elevate one to renunciation, and anyone who is situated in renunciation that doesn't lead to devotional service to the Supreme Lord is to be considered to be a dead body, although breathing. Here, in this verse, emphasis is given on the ultimate goal. Unless the ultimate goal is reached, which is the essence of today's verse, if we want to actually achieve the ultimate goal of chanting, we have to become freed from offenses. And unless the ultimate goal is achieved, which is devotional service to the Supreme Lord, any other achievement is useless. Because the only full achievement of chanting the holy name of the Lord is to attain love for the Supreme Lord. Love which is freed from all material desires. Anya balasita sunyam jnana kamadhyanavita. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains, that such devotional service should be freed from the influence of karma and jnana. And Srila Rupa Goswami also states that bhukti mukti spiha yavat pisachi hiri vartate. He says as long as the desire for bhukti, the desire for material enjoyment, mukti, the desire for relief from suffering, liberation, as long as these two desires that are within the heart, which are considered to be like two witches which haunt one like a ghost, then one will never be able to taste the bliss of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the goal of chanting is to achieve this love. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta here, Saraswati Thakur here also states that to approach the Lord for something for ourselves, he says it's an offense. We should not ask anything for ourselves. And he says, therefore, all these other purposes that for which one chants are considered to be useless unless we actually purposely, with the intent, sit and intensely, very much pray for service to the Lord. That service, that opportunity to engage in devotional service is bestowed by the mercy of the Lord and also bestowed by the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. Therefore, in examining these statements, both here and in this commentary by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and here in Srila Prabhupada's commentary, he gives our Siddha Pranali, which is that if one wants to be successful in chanting, he quotes the verse which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphasizes is a Siddha Pranali for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which is Trinadipi Sunichino Tarodiva Suhishtana Amani Namana Dena Kirtanya Siddhahari. And Lord Chaitanya himself has stated, when explaining this verse, he says that a devotee who is engaged in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he does not retaliate. Even if he's rebuked or chastised, he never retaliates or says anything to anyone else about such activity. He says, and he gives the example that even if a tree is cut, the tree will not complain. And even if a tree is drying up, will not ask anyone for water. And he says that such forbearance must be practiced by the devotee. Says thus a Vaishnava should engage in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and he should never ask anyone for anything for himself. If someone offers, he will accept. But if someone doesn't offer, he is satisfied to accept whatever comes by its own means. And then he says something very, very important. He says, this type of devotional service solidly maintains, this type of behavior, solidly maintains a devotee's devotional service. This type of behavior. He doesn't ask. He tolerates. He's so forbearing. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tiraskrita vipralabdha kshapta kshipta hatahapi nasya tat pratikurvanti tat bhakta kavayopihi. This verse is spoken about Pariksit Maharaj. It was spoken by Shamik Rishi. When he learned that his son had garlanded a snake around Pariksit Maharaj's neck, he was extremely disturbed because he understood that Pariksit Maharaj is such a saintly Vaishnava. In his heart, he was thinking, if only Pariksit Maharaj will counteract what has happened to him by cursing my son, then that will be proper just punishment for him. But then he realized, wait a minute. How will it be possible? Pariksit Maharaj wouldn't do that. Because devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even if they are cheated, cursed, neglected, disturbed, insulted, or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. What can I do? Pariksit Maharaj will never counter curse. I can only simply pray to the Lord that somehow He sees the situation and He understands what needs to be done to correct the situation. Because Pariksit Maharaj will never counteract or counter curse my son. Such is the characteristic of a devotee. A devotee so forbearing. Cheated? Cursed? Neglected, insulted, disturbed, or even killed. He'll never avenge himself. Why? Because he's so forbearing. He's so tolerant. This type of devotional service, this type of mood in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, as Lord Chaitanya himself states, this behavior solidly maintains devotional service for the devotee. It gives him the means by which he can actually be situated in devotional service because he's so tolerant that the Lord cannot neglect. Others may neglect, but the Lord will not neglect. How can the Lord neglect such a devotee? He cannot neglect. He cannot turn away. Look what happened to Ambarish Maharaj. When Ambarish Maharaj was cursed, he didn't even pray to the Lord for protection, but the Lord protected him. And when Durvasa Muni came to Ambarish Maharaj and said, when Ambarish Maharaj came to the Lord, first he went to Lord Brahma, he went to Lord Shiva, then he went to Lord Vishnu, of course. Brahma and Shiva, they were not able to provide him relief. That's what he wanted. He wanted relief. Please relieve me. Brahma says I can't. Lord Shiva says I can't. And he came to Lord Vishnu. He says, please, look at me. I'm suffering. And Lord Vishnu says, sorry. I can't do anything to help you. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries to these verses, he explains the mood the Lord has in his conversation with Durvasa Muni. When Durvasa Muni, he approaches the Lord for protection. And he says, please, can you mitigate my distress? You've invoked this chakra. Certainly you can remove it. And the Lord says, I'm sorry. I'm not independent. I'm completely under the control of my devotee. The devotee is in my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the devotee. The devotee doesn't think of anyone but me, and I don't think of anyone but him. And then, what does Durvasa Muni say? He says, well, certainly. When you see somebody suffering and they're coming to you for protection, certainly you must be inclined to feel for his suffering. He's begging, please have a heart. And the Lord says, sorry. He says, actually, I can't even think of your suffering. I don't have a heart and I can't even think of your suffering. And the Rasa Muni says, how is that possible? And then the Lord explains, he says, my devotee is so dear to me. It's my devotee because he always takes me into the core of his heart and is always praying to me. Please, let me engage in your service. He doesn't want anything else. And he's always thinking how he can serve me. So therefore, I approach my devotee and I say, please, let me give you something. But my devotee says, I don't want anything. And the Lord says, I want to give you something. Anything. Just like he told Kolavitsa Shuddha, who was always chanting the holy name of the Lord. People would complain. He said, Kolavitsa, I'll make you a king. I'll give you a kingdom. Kolavitsa said, no. You simply be my Lord and Master, and let me be your servant, birth after birth. So the Lord explains, he says, my devotee only asks for one thing, let me serve you. So therefore, how can I give him anything he doesn't want? But still I must give him something. I must give him something which is valuable, something which he'll appreciate of value, something that will mean something for him. He doesn't want wealth. He doesn't want follower. He doesn't want beautiful women. He doesn't want anything from me. But let me give him something that he'll accept. So what do I give him? I give him my heart. My devotee has my heart. And you're asking me, have a heart? And I'm saying, I'm sorry. I don't have one. I can't even think. My devotee has my mind. He has my heart. You want my heart? You have to go to him. The Lord is so much inclined, he can't neglect a devotee who's always fully depending upon him. And therefore, when a devotee chants the holy name of the Lord in this mentality, it nourishes, it sustains, solidly maintains a devotee's devotional service, so much so that the Lord gives him the greatest benediction. Not only gives him heart, his heart, gives himself, but he gives his devotee his devotional service, which is the means for perfection. If one sits and meditates and chants the holy name of the Lord, yes, we may want to go back home, back to Godhead. We want to actually take shelter in the spiritual world. But actually that place can only be achieved by those who think first and foremost service. It's not achieved by anything else. Only if one actually has this attitude, this complete helpless dependence, oh Lord, please engage me in your service. And therefore, we must understand that this devotional service to enter into the spiritual world can only be achieved when one actually gets the mercy of the Lord's devotee. And therefore, it is stated by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He says that, when will Lord Nityananda's mercy be fully manifest to me, so that material desires will become so completely insignificant? When will that time come? And he says, when my mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then, and only then, will I be able to understand Sri Vrindavan Dham and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. And only then will my spiritual life be successful. He explains that, yes, I have to get the mercy of the greatest servant of Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Nityananda. It is Lord Nityananda who actually cleanses the heart, gives one spiritual strength, gives one the strength to actually become free from all these material obstacles, the desire for wealth, the desire for relief from suffering, the desire for material enjoyment. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated by Narada Muni, he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions and who are fully satisfied in possessing only devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up by respectable parentage, by great opulence, by bodily beauty, they're generally proud of possessing such things. And even if they offer me service, he says, the Lord, even offer the Lord worship, he says, the Lord is not inclined to accept. Why? Because they deride the devotee of the Lord. When they see the devotee who's so fully dependent upon the mercy of the Lord, they deride the devotee, just like Kolavecha Shuddha. The worshippers of Goddess Chandi, they saw how Kolavecha Shuddha was so absorbed in chanting, but they would deride him. Why don't you worship Goddess Chandi? Look at us, we're wealthy. And look at you, you live in a hut. Your roof has so many holes in it. You're crying at night all night long with hunger pains disturbing all of your neighbors. Why did you take shelter? But what was Kulavecha Shuddha's mood? His mood was completely calling out the names of the Lord. Only for one purpose. Only for one purpose. To glorify the Lord. To be engaged in the service of the Lord. Such devotional service, such a behavior, solidly maintains a devotee's devotional service. Lord Nityananda is very merciful, and therefore, as we understand also, that if we want to enter into the dancing party of Radha and Krishna, we have to catch hold of the feet of Lord Nityananda. And only then will we be qualified to enter into the spiritual world. It is Lord Nityananda who showed by his example how to take the order of the Supreme Lord and to tolerate all kinds of inconveniences. It was Lord Nityananda who took the order of Lord Chaitanya, who told him, go out every day into the streets and induce others to chant Krishna's names, to tell others about Krishna, make Krishna your life. And then you come back in the evening and you tell me how many people have been chanting. What is Lord Nityananda begging for? He was begging to give others the opportunity to understand what is the real meaning of the holy name of the Lord. And therefore his method of distribution was so glorious, that by his method of distribution, he awakened faith in others. This is what he was looking for. He was not looking for anything else. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when Patrolman and Haridas Thakur, Lord Nityananda, went into the streets, they did not go out with any selfish purpose, begging for milk and rice. They simply went out for one reason, carrying the order of the Lord on their heads and begging everyone, even in the face of all kinds of adversity, being struck in the head with a pot by Madhai. But still, he was so merciful. So merciful. He was thinking that, yes, if I can make these two personalities understand Lord Chaitanya, then I will be recognized as Lord Chaitanya's servant. So it is Lord Nityananda, and the servant of Lord Nityananda, who gives us the opportunity to engage in service in not only chanting the holy name of the Lord, but to cleanse the heart, to purify the heart from all material anxieties and desires, so that one can be qualified to enter into Sri Vrindavan Dham. Then, we'll be able to enter into the dancing party of Radha and Krishna. Then we'll actually be able to approach Radha and Krishna by catching firmly holding the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. This way, we understand that we have gathered here to chant. Collectively, we are chanting, praying for the opportunity to serve. That is our shelter. That is our means for perfection. That is our means for actually pleasing the Lord and becoming qualified to enter the spiritual world and to enter that transcendental abode and thereby to become qualified. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta actually explains in the Harmonist magazine, he explains something very important. He says that Lord Nityananda, when he favors a devotee, and when he deems a devotee fit for rendering service to Srimati Radhika, he says then, when he recognizes that person, he says that Srimati Radhika, she is the guru of the inner circle. And Lord Nityananda, he is the guru for the masses. It is Lord Nityananda who actually goes out to the masses and by his method of distribution, awakens faith in devotional service. Pure devotional service. Not by chanting the holy name of the Lord for relief or distress. Not by chanting the holy name of the Lord to become freed from epidemics. Not by chanting the holy name of the Lord for elevation to heavenly planets. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, his meditation was only one thing only. His meditation was the service of Lord Chaitanya. He did not even go out and distribute until he received the order from Lord Chaitanya. Although he traveled on pilgrimage for 20 years, he waited till he came here to the house of Nandanacharya. And then when he came here and received the order, then he took it up. It is the order. That is our method of service to the Holy Name. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in today's purport. Very important, and I'll end on this because I see a sign here that says very important. Class must end by 8:45 a.m. Prabhupada says, he says that thus one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name and in this spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. One who chants in that spirit without offenses, as we said today, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, any other purpose for chanting other than for service is offensive. Because it's asking for something for myself. So he says, one who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the Holy Name and the Personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the Holy Name and chant the Holy Name is to associate with the Personality of Godhead directly. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hai Sava Jagat Nistara, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the age of Kali, the Supreme Lord appears in the form of His Holy Name. Anyone who associates with the Holy Name is as good as associating with the Lord directly, and certainly He is delivered. I have to end here. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Thank you.